And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we gather around this morning on this new season of the church here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Go around town this week and tell people that. Just say it really, Happy New Year, and just see what kind of responses you get to that. But it could really open up some dialogue about this wonderful Advent season, a season in which we're going to be looking at these themes leading up to Christmas of hope and peace and joy and love. And this morning, we celebrate God's gift of hope. As children of faith, we are blessed with hope in the midst of a seemingly hopeless world. And I think you'd agree with me as you go out there and converse with people out in the neighborhoods and at the town square or wherever you're around other people, you probably sense that there's a lot of hopelessness in the midst of the people that you communicate with. And certainly a sense of hopelessness is evident in a number of the things that are going on in the lives of many today and the way that it affects the lives of many. Certainly, there's many concerns that we see going on in our culture and throughout the world. Things like natural disasters, fires. Imagine being one of those families that saw virtually your town burned down and all of your personal property with it in California. Certainly that would give a sense of hopelessness. Or the hurricanes and the floods. I know Virtus and Joyce Einspar were just down with family in the Houston area, and I asked Virtus how things were going there, and he shared, you know, and there's still people recovering, and in church there's still families in the bulletin that are listed and that have need of still receiving help from other people. And so these things that are just out of our mind are still a heavy burden on the lives of many. And that happened, a couple years ago already? Or you think out in California, especially the earthquakes. You know, there hasn't been a major one for a while, and yet it's not if, but it's when that's going to happen again. And we can throw climate change in there. And the list of natural disasters can go on. And many affected by those, and certainly a sense of hopelessness can come out of that. Or maybe the threat of economic collapse. Isn't that always on the horizon, wondering, is this going to happen again in our nation? We certainly see the unrest in our communities. We see the polarization that is going on politically and how that affects many today in the community, and it brings a lot of unrest. How about the immigration issue? Imagine being one of those coming up from Central America, hoping there would be a chance of improving your life. And on the other hand, who knows who's in those groups coming forward and trying to get into our land. And so there's all kinds of issues and concerns that come out of those events. And then there's disease, isn't there? You know, there are plagues that could hit the earth again. And you talk to doctors, our son's a veterinarian, and some of the super bacterias that are being developed naturally from using antibiotics. I mean, there's potential for all kinds of outbreaks of major plague-like events. And of course, always looming before us is death. Is that enough to maybe take us down a road of hopelessness? And I just got started. You could, you know, add to that list greatly. And so in the midst of these real life circumstances, though, imagine not having faith. Imagine not knowing God and His love for us and the care that He provides to us. And you know, some of the symptoms of losing hope are things like this: feeling alone and abandoned. Do you realize that this season, which should be so cheery and joyful, and boy, Sharon, thank you for being here, Sharon, today playing. Sharon came in all bubbly this morning, just love Advent, love those Advent hymns, and I get to play them. But during this season of so much excitement and joy, it's also the season of the highest suicide rate throughout the year. And so there's a lot of people that feel alone and they feel abandoned, and it's a symptom of hopelessness. Life can seem out of control. Certainly people can be hounded and overwhelmed with fear or belief that things are never going to get better. Do we ever get in those modes ourselves, even as people of faith? Yeah, we can lose sight of the joy and the hope that God gives us, and we can go down this road too in our own lives and become very depressed. Yeah, believing things will never get better, thinking that there's no solutions to the issues that are out there. And if there's no solutions, then really there's no point in really trying to do anything about it anyway. And then it kind of gets down to, I only see things getting worse. Boy, that's going down a horrible road, isn't it? And yet, a lot of people today are traveling that, and we in our sinful condition at times, we get down, we lose sight of God and His incredible blessings, and we can find ourselves in a very dangerous area of hopelessness as well. And then to add insult to injury, we know we're going to die, but then what happens? We know that there is judgment. And our conscience, whether a person believes or not, their conscience reveals to them that things aren't right in their lives. And for those apart from Christ, they know not where to turn to find peace or hope in that one. Hopelessness. Such is the world for many, and it can infringe upon our lives as well. But you know, there's only one source of hope. And we know what that source is. We know it's the Almighty God Himself. And it's important for us, by the way, not to confuse the meanings of hope. Because generally, the word hope, used in our common day language, in our everyday conversation, is different than the hope that we are speaking of here this morning. The hope in our normal daily conversation is a term of great uncertainty. It's like, boy, we're going to go caroling on Saturday evening. I hope the weather's going to be pretty decent for us to do that. Or maybe it'd be kind of cool if we had some snow flurries going on, right? Really get us into the mood. So we could be hoping that there'd be a little snow. But those are all terms of uncertainty connected with this beautiful word hope. But it's so different in Scripture because biblical hope is not based on the circumstances of the world. It's based upon God's promises that He brings to the world, that He gives to you and me individually. And so God's promises are 100% absolutely certain. Every one of them will be fulfilled. And so hoping in God's promises is a hope of absolute certainty. This hope will never fail. It's an expectation of what is certain. It is longing for something that God has promised to us, and His promise is so certain, it's as though we already have it in our possession now. An example of that would be heaven. We know when we die as God's children, we will continue to live in glory in heaven. Haven't experienced that. We hope that. And it's like it's in our possession now. And it really is because we now live in eternal life. But you know, this morning, speaking of hope, we go to the Old Testament. And I want you to hear these words again from Jeremiah. Because what's really exciting is God gives you and me a new name. And it's verse 16. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which, now in the ESV, which you have, has the word it. In the Hebrew, it can mean she, and I think that's more correct, because the Lord refers to his church as his bride. So, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So there's two things you can do now when you're out in public. Number one, you can say, Happy New Year. And if somebody asks, well, what is your name? You can say, the Lord is my righteousness. See what kind of conversation that may start. But think about that. God says to you and me, I give you this new name, and the name is the Lord is our righteousness. Think about the significance of that name for you and for me. And of course, this name comes from the workings of the Messiah whom God promised. And he is described and titled and named in this passage as the branch, the righteous branch to spring up for David. And so we know that this one is going to come from the lineage of David, which Jesus has come, and we know that he is righteous. And that word righteous simply means to be perfectly right with God. And so this branch promise, this promised Messiah who has come in the person of Jesus Christ, is perfectly righteous. In fact, if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 23, 10 chapters before chapter 33 that we're looking at this morning, there we hear about the branch. There we hear about the Messiah, Jesus, and guess what he's called? The Lord is our righteousness. Think how awesome that is, that Jesus, one of his names, the Lord is our righteousness, is the name that he gives to you and me. We get to claim his name because he gives it to us as a gift. And in this name, revealing of the blessings that you and I have each and every moment of every day as children of faith. In fact, faith is a gift made possible by what this one Lord, who is our righteousness, has done. And he is the God of justice and righteousness, isn't he? In the Old Testament reading that we have before us this morning, we hear of this branch springing out up for David. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Now, what do you think this justice and righteousness looks like? How did God execute this? You know, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God warned them that if you rebel against me, if you eat of that forbidden fruit, you will surely die. In other words, God presenting his justice to them, that sin is deadly. If you do it, you are going to be under the judgment of death. And that's not only physical death, that is eternal condemnation in hell. This is extremely serious, and it's God's justice. And then you hear the promise that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, is going to execute justice and righteousness in the land. That could be downright terrifying, couldn't it? But see, what God chose to do, and he revealed it to our first parents after the very first sin committed, he promised the seed of the woman. The same one who is described as the righteous branch in this text, the same one who is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ of the New Testament, the anointed one in Greek, and Jesus came to execute justice. And I love this scene. This is my favorite Advent scene. And I just can't wait every year to see it, because what is just beaming through the roof of the manger and it's the cross. And there is a perfect picture of God's justice. Jesus came as that little babe to fulfill the law perfectly, and in so doing, to make us right with God. But sin had to still be dealt with. God doesn't change his mind and say, oh, you know, that was so sad that you guys sinned. You know, I'm just going to forget what I said about the judgment for sin. We'll just kind of lay that aside. God doesn't work that way. God remains perfectly true to his word. And when you see that cross thrusting through the manger scene, there is God's justice revealed to us, because Jesus not only fulfilled the law, but then he paid the punishment for our failure to do so. And God executed his justice on the world through his own son. Jesus faced hell and death as our substitute. And it's because of what he has done that we are given this incredible name. His name, the Lord, is our righteousness. Through God's perfect justice administered through his Son, we are declared right with God. And personally, that becomes our possession. Personally, we receive that name when we come to faith, whether through the waters of baptism, through hearing the word, but it's God the Holy Spirit that's working through those means that brings us into this incredible relationship, and we're given the name. At baptism, the Lord gives us his name, and in so doing, as we saw in the epistle reading this morning, we are declared blameless and we are declared holy. Now, blameless doesn't mean without sin. It means that even though we are saint and sinner, that God no longer blames or condemns us, but our sins are covered. We are forgiven, and in that we have the gift of salvation. Wow, God has covered all the bases, hasn't he? And with this gift of salvation, we have security. It was in the Old Testament that God clearly proclaims his security to us, isn't it? In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. God wants us to know and to understand that through him we have security today and tomorrow and for eternity. That's quite the opposite of hopelessness, isn't it? Think of all of these blessings given in light of that whole list of concerns. God is in the midst of all of these things. And then in the gospel reading, Jesus makes it evident the security that we have in these words: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So it's not like God is going to exist for a while, or his word is going to exist for a few centuries, and then it's going to wear out, it's going to pass away, and then something new will come. No, God makes it very evident and clear: my words will not pass away. And think about that. That means our name given will not pass away. That means our holiness and blamelessness will not pass away. That means the gift of salvation will not pass away. That means that God declaring us right with him will not pass away. These are in our possession now and for eternity. Wow. We are so incredibly blessed by God. And the greatest thing, the Lord is our righteousness, bestows upon you and me his name. And we are blessed to be called by the very same name. What a blessed name. The Lord is our righteousness. You know, right now, there is a contemporary Christian song, and I think I would have to say it's probably my favorite contemporary Christian song of all time. And it's by one of my favorite female artists, Lauren Daigle. But it's the song, You Say. And many of you, I'm sure you've heard it. If you haven't, I want you, when you go home today, pull it up on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, put in the search, You Say. And it's just a beautiful song. And I want to read some of the lyrics to you this morning in this song. And here they are. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. The highest season of suicides. There's a lot of people that are dwelling in those words right there. And they are a description of hopelessness. But then the song goes on and continues with these beautiful lyrics. You say, meaning God, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I am yours. Isn't that beautiful? And then the lyrics go on. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. Think about that. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. Brings tears to my eyes every time I hear those words. Because I know what a horrible sinner I am. And I get into that mode of those voices saying, I'm not enough. I never measure up. But God, you say. God, you say my name that you have given me. The Lord is our righteousness. Well, you and I, we're going to be out in the community throughout this season, and most people are getting really excited about a lot of things connected to Christmas, and they have no clue of the Savior. They have no clue of God's righteousness. And with all the fanfare and the fluff of the season without that, maybe on the exterior they look very excited and happy, but there's hopelessness under the surface. What an incredible season of the year for you and me as God's people. For you and I to be out in the public square, to be out with people, strangers we don't even know, and to be able to bring to them this wonderful, blessed good news. The Lord is our righteousness. You know, one day, as Jesus says, we're all going to stand before the Son of Man, and that's the conclusion of the gospel reading this morning. What do you think about that? If the Lord just suddenly appeared today during worship, I think that'd be awesome, don't you? But how do you think you would receive him? Would you think, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can stand before the Lord? But look at what Jesus says. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And you know how we can stand before the Son of Man? We can welcome the Son of Man and say, Jesus, you are our righteousness. And Jesus, I'm so blessed. Thank you for the name. I have your name, Jesus, which means I am your family, which means I am saved for eternity as the Lord welcomes us into glory. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the greatest hope of all. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us now and for eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is our righteousness. Amen.